sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We want to, first, before we even introduce ourselves, we want to welcome back Mike Gannon, our producer. Welcome, Mike. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mike was greatly missed for a couple of weeks.
Wild.
And, yeah. So anyway, we're really glad that Mike's back. You're gonna hear the music and everything coming on at the right time this time.
There's just one of those things that people make a job look easy, and yeah. Then you go, oh, it's just a matter of just doing this, pushing that button, getting things, and then you realize how tough.
Do you know what it reminded me of? By the way, you're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and my partner on the radio here is Mark Carr. Mark's a member of our team and works with buyers, and he kind of organizes our whole operation. And yeah. Our guest today is Ron Shalott.
Morning, Becky.
Good morning. Ron Shalott is my attorney. He could be your attorney if you just give him a call, and I'll give you his number here in a minute. Mike being gone and the station manager doing our show reminded me of me because I used to do everything. I knew how to do everything, and I still can do everything. It just takes me a long, long time because different team members do different jobs now. So for me to enter a listing into the multi-list takes three times as long as it would take Sandra to enter the listing into the multi-list, because she does it all the time. And I don't do it anymore because I've got Sandra, right?
Yeah, it's one of the things I love to hear, like, because it was just you for a long time in building the business from the 1970s, right? And then, then you had Julie, and Julie's been with you for a long time. And every now and then we get the Julie and Becky story, like back in the day, we did it this way, and how it's changed because you specialized the team so that we become experts in all the parts.
Yeah.
And it's smoother for our clients and smoother for us, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
We definitely can get more done that way, which is great.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mr. Shalott.
Hello, Becky.
What are we talking about today?
Well, this is really the 10th year I've been on your program.
Really?
Wow.
Yes,
woohoo! Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Yeah,
we've been together. So we've talked about a lot of things.
Do you know, and I met you and consulted with you probably.
Oh, gosh. Don't get us into that.
I'm going to tell you.
How did you guys connect?
I don't know.
Well, through a mutual friend.
Okay.
One of my kids had an accident, which was. It was not real. It was
like a car accident?
No.
Okay. Just an accident. Okay.
In a restaurant.
Okay.
And that child is now 39 years old, and she was less than one at the time.
Oh.
So it's been a very long time ago, and my friend that I consulted, I said, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And it was gross neglect on the restaurant's part, but he said, you need to go talk to my friend Ron Shalott. So I scheduled an appointment, and it was like on a Saturday because his week was full other than that, but he met me on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm still meeting you on Saturday.
You are still meeting me on a Saturday.
We are again.
But here's the part I was impressed with. We went over details and all that kind of stuff, and he said, so tell me what you're interested in, Becky. Are you interested in suing the restaurant and collecting money, or are you interested in your child's health? Hmm. And I said, I just want to protect in case this is a lifelong thing.
Right.
I want to be sure that I'm able to financially take care of her. And then and he said, well, the test to prove this would be invasive to your child and painful. And do you really want to do that?
Hmm.
And I said, no, I don't want to do that. He said, well, here's the thing. You've got 2 years to watch and see. And then you can still collect money. It was a big national restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still have a claim against the restaurant should this be a problem.
Should this something that... It-
and I thought, whoa, someone turning down a personal injury case.
Yeah.
Well, not turning it down, just waiting for it to mature.
There you go. Well, and luckily for
there's
my...
There's a lawyer phrase there, right
or
there.
Or mature, I should say. Mature.
Mature.
No, mature is our okie talk. And the thing is, it did not mature.
Yeah.
Mature.
Mature. It didn't... Nothing ever resulted from it. She
sure.
got better.
Good.
And did not have an issue. And ultimately... I mean, to have an attorney help you focus on what's important.
On what's important, right.
Well, now, you have to also note that I would have told you, I don't remember, but I would have told you that that's for you to bring the action. The child can wait until 1 year after her 18th birthday to personally bring her own action.
You did tell me
oh,
that.
Really?
Okay. All right.
You did tell me that.
I just wanted to make sure I don't want my lawyer friends to be calling this
No, no, no.
Shallot, you
No, you told
up.
Me that. But
okay.
The thing is you were giving me life advice through the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
And giving me my options and kind of keeping, whereas a lot, of, I'm just going to have to say, a lot of people would not have taken that road.
Yeah.
Well, it was not a McDonald's coffee cup. And hot coffee. So that wasn't that case. So don't.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway.
Well.
Well, that's interesting. I wondered how you guys met. I'd never heard that story.
A mutual friend who had an investigative firm.
Yeah.
Was a very good friend of mine, and he's very well connected with law and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he worked with a lot of lawyers, so I asked what. Who do I call? I don't use lawyers.
Yeah.
That's just not who I am.
Well, you do now.
I do now. But it's proactive opposed to
right.
defense.
Well, right. trying to look at some things that come up in your business.
There is nothing. I mean, there is not a month that goes by that I don't ask Ron for advice on something
yeah.
to keep me from making a mistake. So if I'm going to give you Ron's number, you guys get your crayons out and write this on. If you've been trapped in your house for a long time and you're depressed, get your finger out and write it in the dust.
Yeah. And the dust is on your table that you
have dusted. The dust is on the table.
You meant to dust.
Yeah. It is 528-2890. 528-2890. And the easy way to find that number...
Go to BeckyIvins.com and click on favorites. You'll see all the favorites. And this is one of the things I love about your favorites, Becky, is that you have known most of them for many years. And there's usually always a meet cute story
yeah,
to it.
It's a,
like
it,
if I ask, hey, how did you meet this person? How did they get involved like with Casa Perico? How did we get involved? You know,
I'll
and it's
tell
like,
you
boom.
How I know Casa Perico.
Yeah. See, I knew there's a meet cute story.
My best friend. Is the sister of the owner and founder of Casa Perico. So we went for opening night, what they call the soft opening
uh-huh.
of Casa Perico, the very first day they serve food
uh-huh.
and opened at 63rd Meridian. So we've been with them since they've been in existence, which
wow.
is well over 20 years
yeah.
for sure. So... We've got a lot to cover. Ron, give us a little hint because we're about to take a break. We want to know what we're going to be talking about.
You kind of gave us a great segue into what we're going to talk about because with all the COVID stuff going on, you know, wondering, okay, how does this affect me, what I should do from a law perspective? And we've been seeing it in the paper, people getting infected at these parties and gatherings and things. Should I be worried about that? as the person who holds the party, as the person who attends the party. We can talk about some of that from the legal perspective.
Who told you I'm having a party tonight?
Oh. Well.
Whoa. Are you going? I'm not going.
Sorry, y'all didn't get invited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that was just a painful moment, Ron.
Boy.
Right?
Right here on live radio.
Right here.
This is where live radio really works.
Well, if you want to hear about my party.
So I'm going to tell you why she should not have, she's scared to death, should have invited us.
I want you to nail it so that it gets canceled.
So that she'll sweat the whole evening.
Yes, that's right.
Write me a little waiver for people to sign as they walk in the door. So we'll return with more right after this message from some of my favorites on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I am here with
Mark Carr, member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team.
Right. And Ron Shalott, who is our resident attorney here. So, Ron, take it away.
Tries to keep the Becky Ivins team out of hot water.
Yeah, I know, right? Evidently, I'm not doing it right.
Well, you're doing really good because you keep calling me once a month.
So I do, at least once a month.
I'm on your, used to be speed dial. I don't think we even use speed dial anymore. It's just you hit the name on the, whatever happened to speed dial? I don't know.
There are people probably still paying for it, trust me. The telephone company's pretty clever like that.
Probably, but and I don't like talking about this virus. I'm tired of it, too, like everybody else. But unfortunately, it is with us, and so we need to address it head on. I was reading in the paper, actually not in the paper, on my phone, let's be honest, about a young mother, 31 years old, who died from complications of the virus with children. And then, of course, that brought to mind one thing we talked about in our state planning probate and trust meeting. One of the judges, one of the great judges in Oklahoma County, Judge Kirby, brought it up to make sure you talk to your clients about estate plans and to look at this virus seriously with regard to what you do with estate plans. Durable powers of attorney. I know we talked about that at your seminar on Wednesday a bit. And to make sure that they have a durable power of attorney. Look in wills. Even young people need wills because you can nominate guardians for your children just in case you're not around, and the court needs to know who would you have wanted to raise these children or take care of these children. So you put that nomination in the last will and testament to make sure that the judge has some direction as to who to appoint to take care of your young children if you should get the virus and succumb to it. So there are some very serious things with regard to this that we need to be aware of and need to really look at estate plans. And I'm not just saying that to get business for lawyers because, although that's good for it, and you want to use lawyers who are knowledgeable in this area so that you get it done properly, appropriately under Oklahoma law, but also take care of your specific situation, not just some generic form that may or may not work. Because if you get this illness, and I know some people who've had this illness, it puts you down real fast. You can't do things at that point. I can't come see you at that point if you're infected and you're in the hospital, et cetera. So you have to have this done ahead of time.
Well,
what this brings up for me, Ron, is like I'm clicking bells in my own head going, you know, I did a will when I was in my 20s, and I don't think I've changed it since then. And now I'm in my 40s and going, wow. I need to go back and look at that. And what I know there's a lot of things out there like do-it-yourself things and that kind of stuff. And
on wills, you mean?
I mean, yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, there are.
There are.
And there are.
But what's the danger for somebody like me who goes, I don't really want to talk to someone and I just want to click some stuff and do it?
So you have a cavity on your tooth. Do you self-drill it and put in a filling?
No.
I
thought I'd put in another word before the no, but I'll just say no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. You need some kind of surgery. Do you just go say, well, I'll go to the kitchen drawer and get my knife out and take care of it? No, you don't do that. Same way if you have no idea of cars, you don't open the hood and try to tinker around with those things.
Yeah.
Yes, you can look at YouTube and find out things, and yes, you can go to one of these national programs, but that's not addressing your particular situation. It's been impressed upon me over the last few years that each family has a particular situation. Maybe one of the children is a special needs child. Maybe one of the adult children has some issues, issues with gambling, some issues with over-medication, drug issues, that kind of thing. So you have to be careful how you leave your estate in those particular situations. You want to address that. And if you have young children, you want to make sure that you put in there about a guardian, what you want that guardian to do, what you would like the estate for them to do, mm-hmm. to setting up under the Uniform Transfers to Minors Act. Do you just want it generically? Does it all drop in their lap at 18, or do you increase it to 21, or do you set up a trust and parcel it out at different ages? So there's a number of things that an attorney should sit down and talk with you about to find out about you and your family and your situation and what you're wanting to do, not just some generic words on a piece of paper,
yeah.
but try to form it for you. That's why I don't like generic anything. I don't like generic wills, generic trusts. I do use formats, but I do fashion those to address your particular situation. So it's important, and especially now we have to really think about this because this is something that can affect any one of us at any particular time, and we just don't know about it and don't know when. It's not alarmist. It's just realistic and being prudent.
Yeah.
Until recently, we were in exactly the same shape as you. We had not done... We had a will, but it was put in place when, I'm not even sure, I think we did have at least three children, but I don't think the fourth one was born yet, and it appointed my brother and his wife to be the guardians of our children. We did talk to him about that, and he claims not to have any knowledge of it. But recently we talked about that, and I said, you know, we were updating the will, and our kids go, can we still have Uncle Walter kind of be in charge of us when you die? He's a really smart guy.
Then things change, too. Uncle Walter may not be around, or there may be a change to where he's not capable of doing it, or maybe he now owns that island in the Pacific Ocean, and you're not going to see him for a long time. So,
owns that ranch in eastern Oklahoma County.
There are a number of things that happen. Life transitions and life changes. I talked about this is the 10th year we've been here. Since that time, you know, I've seen a lot of things happen with us, with you, with me. So we've seen a lot go on during that relatively short period of time. And to address the question Mark meant to ask, which is, how often should you review all these things? Well, whenever you have a transition in life would be great, but probably no more than every 3 years. You should just kind of open it up, kind of scan it, make sure, yep, that's still what I want. Make sure the beneficiaries are still what I want. Look at your bank accounts. Did you have a beneficiary up here in death clause on those bank accounts? Look at the life insurance policies. Beneficiaries, right? IRAs, did I even put a beneficiary in the IRA? You know, I might have forgotten to do that. And that's the reason why you do that so often, is to make sure you've got it right and make sure that you did it. I've had a number of times where people come in with trusts that other lawyers have done and said, can you look this over and tell me what we've done and make sure it's done right? And I look at it, and sometimes there's not stuff in the trust. They go, well, you forgot to do that.
Yeah, and
forgot to fund the trust. And that's something that can happen way too often.
Right. So, Mark?
I know. I feel like I have a task. I'm writing down my task sheet of, like, here's what I need to do.
Let's see, and you're on page number four now.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you've got a lot.
A lot of things have changed since we go back, and I realized, like, the last time I did my will, it's like three lifetimes ago. I mean, different state, different career, different everything. And it's now I have kids in college. And what a change. I don't think my third one was born. Like,
right.
Same with you, Becky. Like,
yeah.
I think two of the after the two were born,
you did a will. Because and somebody at church was doing it for you, right?
It, you know what exactly was?
Yeah. That's
we were doing it, and we did it at church and in a Sunday school room, and they were doing the wills.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. That's how we did ours. And they do that. I'm sure the church does that as a manner for maybe someone not in their 20s, but someone maybe more in their 60s or 70s or 80s to be able to provide a donation for the church at the end. But it's a service that they offer. A lot of churches do that. Mm-hmm. And
which is, by the way, a problem. We won't get into the legal problems of that. But anyway, I just thought I'd point out.
Again, so your lawyer friends,
churches need to be careful
about
doing that. Certainly. But this virus has made us look at things now.
Do you know? And we're, if you have a question for us, give us a call, 840-1000, 840-1000. And we'll return right after this break. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. If you want to talk to me, schedule an appointment with me, just call my office, 722-3232. We're in the 405 area code, so it's 405-722-3232. And, or just go to BeckyIvins.com. There's a button that says Contact Us, and it'll take you straight to our website. I'm here with Mark Carr from my real estate team and Ron Shalott, our resident attorney. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by
Casa Perico. No. Robin's Roofing. I went back to the meat cute. I know you pointed
job.
Me and went boom.
I know.
By Robin's Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robin's Roofing, whether it's a small job or a complete replacement of your roof. We trust Robin's Roofing, and you can too. I was just with Larry yesterday looking at a roof, and he hopped up there, marked all. It was a roof that someone missed on a hailstorm back, and I went, reminding me of, you only have 1 year after a hailstorm. So if we had that huge March and April, call Robbins Roofing.
Right. So 728-3700, 728-3700. And where can you find Robbins Roofing?
At our Becky's Favorites. Go to BeckyIvins.com.
Our word of the day today is plaintiff.
Yes. If you know what a plaintiff is, oh boy.
I know, right?
Yes. Plaintiff. P-L-A-I-N-T-I-F-F is how it's spelled. It's not a common word unless you're in certain circles. Comes from the word plaint, P-L-A-I-N-T, comes from the French plainte, to complain. Plaindre, to complain, is the verb, which means lamentation, complaint, form of legal action seeking redress of grievances. A plaintiff is the one who brings the legal action. They bring it in federal court as a complaint. That's what it's called. In Oklahoma, they bring it as a petition, which means prayer. So you petition the court. You complain to the court. You're lamenting something. So you're seeking a redress of legal grievances, usually in the form of damages. So your plaintiff is the person that brings the legal action. And if you're a person who needs to bring that action and you bring it, you're the plaintiff. You're the person who gets this nice paper from a nice process server or the sheriff or in certified mail, you're probably the defendant. But the plaintiff is the one who brings the legal action.
You'd rather be a plaintiff than a defendant, but if you really had your druthers, it would probably
neither.
Be neither, right?
Right. You'd rather be the lawyer.
Right, there you go. For sure. Okay. So our word of the day, plaintiff, brought to you by?
Robbins Roofing.
Okay. Sally, good morning. You've been holding on a long time, and I appreciate that.
Yes. I've got a problem with Zillow and Zillow.com and Realtor.com. We have a duplex down around Lawton, and it's about 6 years old. And we've listed it when we first got it, I guess, with a couple of realtors, but it got put on Zillow at a different price. I mean, a real low value, and then they keep saying it's off the market. And that's Zillow. I mean, they are just way off. And Realtor.com, it's listed. I don't know how that's listed. It's listed four different ways. It depends on how you put the address. And then three of them show off the market and incorrect information. And we finally got a realtor, and she put it in, and she put, instead of three bedrooms and two baths, she put it in, it's in six bedrooms and four baths. And it's completely screwed up. We ended our relationship with her, and I'm thinking about suing Zillow and Realtor.com. I can't get them to answer. The real estate person said that she could not get it changed, and I don't know why, or can't get them to take off what. And Zillow is just operating on its own. I am very, very upset with them, because they're the ones that didn't have a realtor on it. And I'm just very, very upset. And it's been like 6 months or more. And no, it's been 8 months. And these should sell. They're right by Fort Sill. I mean, they're fabulous, I think. And can't get any Zillow or Realtor.com. Can't get out getting liquors or anything.
Well, Sally, guess what?
What?
I can help you.
Can you?
I can.
Well, tell me how.
Okay, I'm going to. That's a common frustration with property owners, is that the national websites, that for their database is incorrect. And this is very frustrating to the owners of the property when, like Zillow does a Zestimate. It's just a mathematical formula. People, the buzzword is algorithm, which is exactly what it is an algorithm, but it's just a mathematical averaging and of certain data, and it doesn't always show what your property is worth. It almost never shows what your property's market value is, because it's going to be high or it's going to be low. It seldom is right on the dot. But let me explain the back end to you on this. The back end is, like, our Multilist, which is MLS OK, is when we enter data in there, the active data goes on Zillow. It goes on to Multilist, and then it is uploaded into Zillow and Realtor.com. In fact, I think it might go to Realtor.com before it goes to Zillow even. But there is a syndication of this data to the other websites, and then it goes down from there to the more secondary websites. And as a realtor, you can go in and claim your listing and change the information. Many realtors don't know how to do that. So it gets convoluted. It stays active because they don't go in there and change it to pending or closed transaction. So it's most of the time the lack of the realtor, the action needed by the realtor. Now, Zillow, we do not, in our MLS, we don't syndicate our pending or sold information. We keep that for the members of our association and members of Multilist to be able to use not only just data, but some experience. on determining value. So we don't think that that's something that someone just perusing the internet is going to be able to do by themselves, because we've got RPR, it's called, which is sort of like a, well, sort of like it's an algorithm as well. But we can go in there and manipulate and go, well, no, that house is across the street in a totally different neighborhood, has nothing to do with our property value. So we can pick the properties that we know are in the neighborhood or are somewhat like the property features, size, age, that kind of thing. Your action, I'm afraid, will fall on deaf ears with Zillow and Realtor.com, because all they are doing is, pardon?
If I sue them?
Well, what do you think, Ron?
I think we ought to have a class action with them.
There's been a class action lawsuit with Zillow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there are already things in the works on those areas. The difficulty for an individual is always, how do we address it first off, and how do we finance it? How do we finance a lawsuit? And that's always a tricky matter.
Yes, yes, I understand.
And with the online, it's very difficult many times to get stuff off the internet, because
now,
once it's there,
how about district courts, just small claims courts, slap them in the face?
Well, the problems you run into is that what's the value of the claim, because what would be your damages? How would you indicate your damages? So that there are some interesting issues, but trying to correct it first is the foremost thing that you should look at. And that's what Becky's talking about, is how to correct the situation, doing it within the system first.
Don't you pay the multi-listing to get these listed?
We have dues, yes.
Yeah.
We do. But we have no control over the workings of Zillow or Realtor.com. Mm-hmm. Most people think Realtor.com is owned by realtors. It's not. But your action is with the realtor that put that data out there, because they're the ones that can change it.
Okay.
So tell you what, I will give you the name of a realtor in Lawton that I've worked with a lot. And who will know how to do this and can get your information corrected to the extent that it can be corrected. Okay? So give Mike Gannon your information.
Okay,
Mike, let's go ahead and talk to Kay right before our break. Good morning, Kay.
I just wanted to offer a suggestion of what the problem might be for the lady in Lawton. I think maybe other people might have tried to steal the information and put it up, and so they can falsely rent or sell the property. And that happens once in a while.
There is that, yes. Usually not on the big websites. Those are usually on the smaller websites where you get your fraud. But it sounds to me like they're just the old listings. No one ever did anything about those, taking them down.
When I heard it, so.
Say it again.
I said that's what came to my mind when I heard it.
Yeah, well, and that you're probably a very smart person, because fraud has to come to your mind when you think of anything anymore, because there's so much of it out there.
Unfortunately. Well, thank you very much.
You were pointing out something, is how do you determine value on property? Zillow comes up with a value. Another place may come up with a different value. But you use your experience, and perhaps it's wise to explain exactly how you come up with that.
Yeah. I can tell you that probably right after the break. We can talk about how do you come up with the value of property, and what data do you use, and what makes...
You're going to keep us hanging on.
Well,
wow.
Just not enough time.
It's a tease.
Not a 2 second.
Yeah. It's like the bacon she says she's baking.
Yeah, the bacon, yeah. I'm baking. Yeah. Okay. Well, stay tuned because we're going to talk about how do you determine the value of a property right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. Call me anytime. 722-3232. If you have a real estate question, be glad to answer it for you. And we're here with Ron Shalott, attorney at law, and Mark Carr, who is one of my team members. So, Ron, you ask about the value of property. How is it determined?
How do we determine it to get a price on it?
There's different values of property. There's not one value of a property. If you ask your insurance agent, what is the value of my property? They're going to give you a replacement cost value. So it's always higher than what you can sell it for to replace it, because they would have to count on scraping it off, replacing it brand new. Okay. An appraiser has a value on a property, and that's there's different types of appraisals too, but we'll just say a refi appraisal typically is higher than a purchase appraisal. A purchase appraisal, the appraiser is given the value of the property, and basically they go justify that in the marketplace.
When you're talking about an appraiser, that's not somebody who's going to buy the place. They just use their skill and experience. They use comps, what they think about the market, and they put a value on it.
But let's be honest, it's really
a guess.
Well, what it is something they can justify to a bank examiner.
It's an expert guess, but it's really a guess because you don't have somebody who's there paying you for it.
Correct. But most folks that buy property have to have financing, and in order to get financing, the property has to appraise for enough money for the borrower, the buyer, to get the loan.
Right. Well, in the law, we talk about a fair market value.
A fair market value,
and which is what a willing buyer will pay a willing seller who will sell it for that price. That's a fair market value.
Correct.
It's in the free market. Many times I tell people, they say, well, how do I value stuff in my house? I say, well, go to a garage sale. What would you buy it for? What would they sell it to you for? That's the ultimate in fair market value, not what you would buy it for new at a store.
Correct. And buyers determine based on what else is available in the market. What were they willing to pay for your house? If they look at seven houses and they like yours the best, well, how does it stack up price-wise? And buyers all have limitations, most buyers. Sadly, all the buyers I deal with have limitations on their finances as to how much they can afford to buy. So when we determine what we list a property for, we look at what has already sold. I call that reality land, properties that have already sold that are pretty much like the property and in the same neighborhood, if at all possible. You got to stay in the same neighborhood. Then you look at fantasy land, which is the active listings. Those are not sold yet, but you broaden your view on fantasy land active listings because people aren't going to look just in one neighborhood typically. They look in that neighborhood and surrounding neighborhoods or different little pockets of homes in town. So what a buyer is willing to pay and what a seller is willing to accept. I will tell you what I tell sellers a lot is you don't get to determine market value. The buyer determines what they're willing to pay. The market value is determined by the buyer. You get one decision, sell it or don't sell it. The buyer is willing to pay this, so you get one choice. You either sell it. You can negotiate, of course, but in the end, you come up with a price and terms. And there's other terms in a contract other than price. But the thing is, it is the buyer has the final determination as to value. Unless another phrase I commonly use is, well, do you want to be the highest bidder on your house? because sometimes it's not worth it to the seller to sell for that price. And there's always that price that the seller's not willing to sell. Wow, we've had a great discussion today. Ron Shalott, attorney at law. I'm going to give you Ron's number again. It is 528-2890.
Real quickly, last on this is just to make sure, I know you're having a gathering today.
Party.
Masks, keep your social distancing. Physical distancing, as Dr. Mark Charney tells us.
Yes.
So do that, to have the sanitizers and all that, because you don't want to get into a situation where you potentially open yourself up to liability. And if you're feeling sick or you think you're sick, stay away from others. Quarantine.
Cancel it. Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Mark and Carl.
Stay safe. Thank you, Becky.
I appreciate it. And we'll be right back here next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.